The party's just begun.
Sonic Boom!
Sit, would you kindly? Where's everyone going? Bingo? Kept you waiting, huh?
Let's just truck on through this fucking episode then, huh? It's time. You ready? You good?
Yeah, I'm sure it's fucking early, but let's do it.
All right. They don't know that on Mondays. So, hello and welcome to the NPC podcast, where noobs, wannabe pros, and occasional completionists gather to discuss the latest in the world of gaming. There are a lot of gaming podcasts out there. There are a lot of NPC podcasts out there. And all of us agree that water sucks. It really, really sucks. Water sucks. It really, really sucks. Gatorade's better.
No, I need water right now, man.
My cup is actually way over there. I can get up and get it, but I'm just going to power through. Anyways, I'm your host, Anthony Fuentes, and with me, of course, is James Brizuela.
Howdy.
And, of course, Alex Cordova.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that is, yeah. Wow, that's the weakest he had. Yeah, he gets to fish some fucking coffee, yeah. Jesus Christ. That's Roman Reigns this morning, dude. That's LA Knight. That's after Roman took his ass out.
No, I got a new meme to send to the group after. It's funny.
All right.
Roman mocks his little pointing, just the face that he does. I just like this is how I want to vision everyone when Flynn talks about him winning.
Send it.
Don't worry. I'll send it later.
Send it. All right. Who wants the quick bits though? Because we got some quick bits to get through, and there's some good ones.
Go for it. Quick bit it up.
Yep.
All right. So, early morning quick bits. Nintendo reiterated it is fully utilizing your Nintendo account info for a smooth transition from the Switch to whatever the next console is going to be.
All right. Well, thanks, Nintendo.
It's the
bare minimum.
The Switch D. Mortal Kombat 1. Omni-Man is dropping November 9th for Yay! Combat Pack owners, which will probably come out like a month or maybe even 2 weeks later if you just want to buy them separately. Mm-hmm. But Spider-Man 2 sold 2.5 million copies in 24 hours, which makes it the fastest selling PlayStation studio launch ever.
Is that your Mike Tyson way of saying PlayStation?
Yeah, PlayStation. just for context, God of War Ragnarok sold 5.1 million in 1 week, and that was on both the PlayStation 4 and 5. So, Spider-Man 2 sold half of that in 1 day.
Pretty much. All
right. Also, more PlayStation news here. Ghost of Tsushima, the movie script is done, according to director Chad Stahelski.
Oh, yeah.
Oh shit! Who, John Wick's doing it.
Who we all know is the director writer of John Wick.
Oh yeah. I'm interested now.
Yeah. So yeah, that movie should be starting up soon, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Once the actor strike is done, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
And then OG Gears of War creator Cliffy B, because I can't say his last name. he says that the series is in need of a quote God of War end quote style reboot. And he also added on that Phil Spencer has his phone number. He is just a call away.
And
that'll happen.
He will gladly do it, even if Phil Spencer wants to be like, boy, you know, he's gonna.
That one flew right over my head, but
I'm choking on my own rage over here.
Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. Or no, I'm sorry.
Oh, I
forgot the three.
Your laptop's coming. She's back, dude.
Yep.
She's back.
All right, hold on.
Let the jet engines fly. It's fine.
Kick it up, dude. Kick it up. Go.
As we fix the Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 campaign, it is only reported as 4 hours long, and fans are absolutely outraged by it, especially the early access. Paid extra money for what, 4 extra hours?
Well, you know, if they wait a while to update their consoles, they can actually add some hours to that campaign time, too.
So, oh my gosh.
Hey!
Hold on.
You got this. You're good. You're golden. Still the fan.
I don't know why it says that My task manager was sucking up all my juice. I didn't have it up. Anyways, the last quick bit. From Software is reportedly working on a PlayStation 5 exclusive title.
Ooh. Hey. Okay. All right. All right. What you got? All right. Quick bits. Quick takes. Real quick. That was a lot of. Okay.
Quick bit. The bit. I still haven't had a chance to buy MK1, but I'm gonna buy it. Hopefully after I get back from my vacation, because I 100% want to play Omni-Man, because that video, the trailer for his release announcement was awesome.
Yeah. And
yeah, I cannot wait to mm-hmm. use that dude.
And I'm on the Invincible hype also, because that first episode dropped and it was good.
I still haven't seen it yet. I told Nat we need to watch the first season, so yeah. Anyway. Mm. Let's see what else we got here. Gears of War, God of War style reboot. Let's go.
I'm with it.
They need to do something because
once again, Who's fumbling over there?
My bad. Sorry.
As we were saying, Xbox, Microsoft, Jesus Christ.
Are you okay?
I'm good. I just got yelled at just for moving something on my own house, dude.
Yeah, dude. It just taking over the fucking mic right now.
He's like, talking about Gears of War, who gives a shit? All right, let's
Anyway, as we've been beating the dead horse of Microsoft here about going back to what works for them, Gears of War is a beloved franchise. They should do something like that. Relaunch it. Make it, you know, contemporary. Bring it back in a way that players haven't seen yet.
Yeah, I agree. And that, you know, Gears of War is such an interesting, like, world. They could make many different gameplay types within it. Yeah, they can. There's a God of War style option there. I don't know if it's going to be one-to-one like how God of War did it, but they can find their own way. I think that's perfectly reasonable.
Yeah.
Just got to do it. Just got to fucking do it.
I 100% don't get why people are upset about Modern Warfare 3, because I'm on the side that, like, I could give a flying fuck about the campaign. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've been good. Like, Modern Warfare 1 and 2, campaigns are good. They're fun to play. But at the same time, I don't really buy those games for the campaign, so I could care less if it's 4 hours, because if I were to buy Modern Warfare 3, which I'm not going to, I would just 100% just want to play the multiplayer, not just me.
Yeah, well, I do know people that, like really look forward to these campaigns. Yeah. Like, every year they're like, okay, cool, new fucking campaign. Like, I've known quite a bit of people that do that, so...
I mean, they're good. They're good, but I don't know. I guess I wouldn't be as upset about it, because, again, I mean, for me, like, yeah, sure, give me a smaller campaign.
I know, right? I don't got time to do fucking like 8 hours, whatever it is. But also, the thing with the 4-hour campaign, too, for what I've heard, is it's also a bad one. Like, it's not a good 4 hours. I mean, it's like a...
The OG,
it's like
a... Modern Warfare campaigns were lit, dude.
Oh, dude, they were amazing, but I mean, like... God.
One and two?
I'm just saying, like, I don't care. Like, give me... In those 4 hours, just give me 4 missions. Like, give me a ghillie suit mission. Give me, like, you know, like the airport... Give me stuff like that, and I'll be fine. Just give me a highlight reel.
You can, right? Give me the Cliff Notes version of what's good.
Yeah, and then let me get to the multiplayer. So
yeah, it makes sense.
I'm on the fence about that one.
Yeah. I mean, same here. Like, I don't know. Call of Duty's behind me now. It's just not a thing. I'm actually most interested in what From Software is going to do with a PS5 exclusive.
Could it be Bloodborne 2 finally?
That's what I was reading. A lot of people are speculating either it's a full-on remake, kind of like Demon's Souls, that worked, or a spiritual successor to Bloodborne. So maybe not 2, but like something within the vein of 2 or whatever it is.
But at that point, they're just making another Soulsborne game. They might as well make it either A, prequel, or B, an actual sequel.
I mean, they should use the property regardless. Like, yeah. I think, yeah.
It's like literally one of the most beloved PlayStation exclusives ever. Mm-hmm. And everybody's been begging for it. So they could easily do a showcase and announce it, and it would go crazy.
Oh, people are going to lose their shit when they drop. Yeah. They're going to do something with Bloodborne at some point. I'm sure. This is probably our best evidence that it's happening sooner rather than later. So, yeah. And, of course, Nintendo, thanks for doing the fucking bare minimum. I appreciate it, buddy. God damn. Like, love you guys sometimes, but this shit, like, you gotta tell people, like, we're not gonna fuck you as much as you think we're gonna fuck you. Like, that's the that's the through line. But I know there's a story coming up that I gotta read that might challenge that a little bit. So
yeah, final thought is, I'm sure we're gonna dive real deep into it later, a little bit later, but Spider-Man 2 selling 2.5 million copies makes the most sense ever, because holy shit, what a game.
Yeah, no. Since me, it seems also like, it's not in a PS4 game, right? Not at all.
Nope.
No. Not yeah. Five. This is really like the gen being a full on next gen game, and it's a good way to assess it. And 2.5 is huge. So yeah. What do you think, Cordova? Anything else before we move on?
I was just gonna say that's what happens when you don't put one of your biggest games ever on your subscription service, Microsoft.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. True.
Their little Starfield mm-hmm. thing, which I'm not mad at, but you know, if you really wanted to gauge your place there or standing, you know, how you bought Bethesda and you were been touting Starfield as your baby, like, and then you put it on Game Pass, it's like, yeah, no one's gonna buy it, they're gonna try it, like what me and Fun did, and then like we don't like it and we're glad we didn't buy it.
I know, because I would have bought it day one. I actually would have totally fucking bought it just based off of Bethesda's reputation and the decent reviews that were coming out, but I would have also been a little pissed. So yeah,
no, I mean, yeah, it's like a, to me it's like a $40 game. Like I wouldn't buy it full price. Spider-Man, I bought actually the deluxe edition, just because that's how much faith I have in Insomniac, is that like I will buy, I don't usually like buying those like 10 extra bucks, but I'm like, fuck it, might as well, you know?
Yeah.
Look at you, dude. And, look at you.
Mm-hmm. I'll make the coffee at home for, you know, a couple afternoons.
Look at you, dude.
Yeah, it's you know, it's only like a no Starbucks for a week.
Yeah, well, exactly.
But yeah, no, I mean, you know, that's how much faith I have in Insomniac. And, you know, like, them, Naughty Dog, and I'll probably throw Sucker Punch in there. Like, if they were to do a Ghost of Tsushima 2 and have, like, a deluxe edition with that, yeah, of course I'd buy that. So, but that's the property, you know? That's the PlayStation instilling that quality AAA status. So, yeah, it's not... I'm a little surprised that it was 24 hours, but, yeah, 2.5 million in one day is... Oof.
Yeah, that's fucking gigantic. Then,
yeah, I'm hyped about the Ghost of Tsushima movie. That's gonna be good. Gears of War is like one of my favorite Microsoft franchises as well. And I've, you know, people, actually not just me, but people like on the internet have been saying that they need a God of War style reboot. Like ever since, I want to say after 4.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. 5 was like they tried an open world type of like hub situation, which is fine.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, Gears 5.
Oh, I never even played 5. Yeah, 5's been off my radar for... Yeah.
Yeah, it's on Game Pass. I mean, it's cool, but I think people were like... They were like, yeah, you know, they called it Gears 5, not Gears of War 5. And on top of that, it's like you're playing as one of the... someone's daughter, one of the girls of the Gears. And like the JD dude, who's Marcus's son, takes a back seat in the story. And it's like kind of like... Okay, like, you know, we're here for Marcus and his family type of story. It's
like, yeah, I'm so, like, that doesn't feel Gearsy enough for me.
Yeah, I mean, the gameplay, to me, the gameplay was cool, but the story was like, yeah, I don't really care, like, kind of what's happening. It was just story beats, you know, like, I was just playing it for the gameplay. But yeah, they did the whole open world hub style thing where it's like they slap you into a map and then you get to go where you want. And kind of do missions that way, which was cool, but it needed to be a little bit more focused. And then, yeah, Call of Duty Modern Warfare, the campaign, you know, like James was saying, I'm here for just give us the fucking greatest hits, bangers, like back-to-back-to-back-to-back missions. I don't need storylines in the Modern Warfare, but I do like the set-piece aspect of it, you know, like, you know, Modern Warfare 2019 had that badass fucking clear-the-house mission, you know, like in night vision. And 2, you know, I'm trying to think of what 2 had, but I can't even really remember.
Like, that's not a good sign.
Well, yeah, right. But, no,
2 had the Piccadilly mission. That one was lit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, 2 had, like, the terrorist bombing France or whatever. And then they actually had a cool AC-1930, I think, the gunship mission.
Mm-hmm.
I miss those from the old school Call of Duties. And that one they had in Modern Warfare 2, but it was way more, like, real life, where you had way more weapons and like there was chatter going on, like you were really in a cockpit and shit. So that was kind of cool. Ooh. But you know, Modern Warfare 3, this one was hyping up the no Russian mission, which we all know from Modern Warfare 2 what that encompasses. So I think that's what people were expecting, because I mean, Activision themselves were like touting it, right? Mm-hmm. Like there was a text message in the trailer that said no Russian, and that's kind of what a trailer ends on. And it's like, oh fuck, they're doing that mission in today's world. You know, that's
a hard one. That's a hard one. Yeah.
Yeah, but now it's like, you know, the campaign's kind of just like a whimper. So I don't know. Maybe that mission wasn't that crazy in this one. I'm not sure, but yeah, I mean, it's mostly for me. It's mostly multiplayer and zombies. So campaign's there. I just beat it in like a day or two, and I'm fine with it.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, again, Call of Duty's not been on my radar for a while, but I can say that what I've played in the past, I can see the why the campaign is beloved by people, but they can only do so much.
Yeah, exactly. You can only fucking kick in a door so many times.
You can only kick in a door so many times. Thank you. Good summation
then,
right there.
And then From Software working their PlayStation exclusive title PS5. Yeah, I'm here for whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Bloodborne, fucking.
Yeah, remake, I mean, I won't buy sequel. It, but yeah, for sure.
You're like, I get the hype. I understand the hype.
Yeah.
Oh man.
I like to enjoy gaming.
speaking of not enjoying gaming, though, let's jump into this first news story for you.
Cool. I'm doing this. So yeah. I'll read the titles right now. Why does Nintendo hate fun? Well. Nintendo is looking to spike any hopes of Smash tournaments having a harder than fun gets tossed.
Whoa, you missed it. Having fun harder.
Huh?
You said having harder.
Oh, my bad. Nintendo is looking to spike any hopes of Smash tournaments having fun harder than me getting taunted by taunt spiked by James's True Luigi. I taunted him too. I taunted him first, goddammit. Anyways, for some odd reason, Nintendo, I'll release the goddamn video, release new guidelines for any quote unquote community tournaments.
Stop the steal.
With the Luigi voice, stop the steal.
Oh, no.
With the highlights being the event must be non-profit, no more than 200 participants. Prizes cannot be above $5,000. No sponsors, no food, drink, or merchandise vendors, no mods like Project M. And the event must be a special permit from Nintendo themselves. Obviously, this threatens the large-scale tournaments around the world with the Smash Bros. Community up in motherfucking arms. However, numerous popular streamers and Smash gods have threatened a boycott, with some even going forward with their own tournaments and look to call Nintendo's bluff. Discuss. Call their fucking bluff. Honestly, this is bullshit. This is really fucked.
They're straight up, they straight up are like, out of nowhere too. People are like, where the fuck did this even come from? Like, Nintendo's like, yeah, we see you guys having fun and making money off our game. Like, yeah, that needs to stop.
Well,
they're starting to be like Lucasfilm, dude. They just want to shut everything down. That's like, it's making their games more popular and their properties more popular. But yet they're like, even though we're a billion-dollar company, nah, we want it all.
Well, okay, so there was a story a couple months ago that one of the people Nintendo, or one of the companies Nintendo hired to manage this kind of stuff with the Smash people, were very, very self-interested in trying to sabotage other tournaments because they got the golden thumbs up from Nintendo, essentially. And they did similar rules like this before, and there was a huge backlash.
Didn't we cover that Nintendo was getting serious about esports in one of our like first couple episodes? I could have swore this sounds familiar.
Because
like,
it was that person that they are that company they hired.
Yeah, that company they bought. Right?
But they tried to do some bullshit like this under without Nintendo's official confirmation, right?
Okay.
And then that guy whoever managed it got fired, and it was a bad PR. Like it was on Phil DeFranco, it was on everything. This seems to me evidence that Nintendo has always been trying to do this, and that guy or that company was the fall for that first attempt, and now enough time has passed where they're going to do it again. Yeah. Like, it just seems like this is just in their wheelhouse. But also, Nintendo historically does this, and this is good and bad here, when they're going to do something new with the property. When another Smash was going to happen, like 4 and Ultimate, they definitely cracked down on the previous installments running in the tournament scene before that. Why? Makes no fucking sense to me.
Yeah.
I don't understand why. But they do that when they are planning to make a shift or announce something, at least. Yeah. That's the best I can hope for, because otherwise this fucking baffles me. Like, Smash tournaments are fun as fuck. They're great.
And this is more like for the large scale ones that like people show up at from around the world, you know? Like those ones that we see videos of, highlights of, you know, like MKLeo or fucking... forgot the dude's name that was Captain Falcon. What's his name?
Fatality. Yeah, dude.
So, like, those dudes, like, they're the ones. I can't... I forgot. There was some no-name. But I just remember in the article that said they put Smash Gods, like, and it started listing their names.
Yeah, so it was, like, Leffen and all them.
Yeah, some of them are going to be hosting their own online tournaments of it and see if Nintendo calls bullshit on that. Because, allegedly, this is, like, a whole, like, any type of Smash-sponsored tournament needs to have Nintendo... approval now or some shit. And it's just like, I don't know if you guys saw the meme I sent when I found this article, but it was like that big old buff dude like walking into a fucking store, just opening up the door like all angry, and it said Nintendo when he finds out little Jimmy's having a Smash tourney at his local YMCA or something.
I mean, yeah, that's fucking
so. Yeah, I mean, I don't get it, but even if they are gonna have a new Smash, there's no need to kill tournaments of the old Smash for it.
I agree. What do you think, James?
I let people have fun. Like, I just I don't understand this, and I'm never gonna understand why, like, these are put on by communities that are, again, strengthening your property. Mm-hmm. So, like, all of these kids, especially the kids that watch these, like, you know, YouTubers or whatever, or go to these things and then go, I want to be like that, I'm gonna go buy Smash. Like, I don't understand where, you know, why Nintendo wants to cut that off. Like, it does not make any sense. They should be sponsoring these tournaments and giving away, like, copies of the game.
Yeah.
Giving away a Switch. Giving away money so people get more invested into it. I don't understand why they want to block everything. Like, that doesn't... It doesn't compute. I don't understand.
Yeah, I think the one... This was during the Brawl days. So I don't know if the logic still tracks, but I believe Sakurai did not like the way the pros were playing. Like, it was really, what do you call it, like, exploitative, or, like, using a lot of exploits and things that he knows casual people can't do. And it was one of those things where he's like, I don't want people to think the game is like this and being, like, alienating or whatever it was. But at the same time, I'm like, I mean, that's what those people that go out of the way to give the game this much attention, they're the evangelists. Like, they're going to hype it up for everybody. Like, those are the people you want, like, spending this much time in the game, and it's going to help for the next one. But, yeah, Nintendo don't make sense sometimes, and this is one of their most baffling. I really hope the community calls their fucking bluff. Like, I really do. I want to see how that fucking turns out. Watch them try to crush these guys, and watch the stories pile up against them from here. Like, that mm-hmm. It could happen. But, yeah, all right, cool. Well, on to more positive news, I think. James, what you got?
Fallout fans are feasting. Mm. Fallout fans will be eating good as the Amazon Prime show has an official release date of April 12th, 2024. No footage has been shown yet, but we did get a cheeky little teaser featuring Vault Boy. Also, news for fans is the next-gen Fallout 4 patch should be releasing soon, and hopefully for free. Bethesda did say they are working on this. They were working on this earlier this year with a release of sometime in 2023. With only 2 months left, fans are speculating it could come sometime in November to conclude, coincide with the franchise's 25th anniversary.
Damn. Yeah. 25th anniversary? Holy shit, Fallout. All right. Well, I don't know. I do love Fallout 4. I would like... Next-gen patch seems kind of cool. I love modding Fallout 4 so much. It's such a great moddable fucking game. So, you know, just give me more Bethesda. I'm with it.
I fell off the boat and I never finished it. So that would be cool. Like, I could totally get back into it mm-hmm. as a next-gen title if they're going to release it across the board and not just for Xbox, which would be kind of bullshit.
That'd be stupid. You know. I wouldn't like that. I wouldn't like that either.
I went back and played it. I think I thought it was backwards compatible on the PS5 and it wasn't.
Mm.
Or maybe it was, like, playable, but there was no upscale to it, like, as far as, like, 60 frames per second.
Yeah, it's vanilla.
Yeah, so I think I went back to it at 30, and I was like, ew. So, yeah, if they release, like, a 60 frames update, I mean, it'll...
Oh, there's a 60 FPS update already.
Yeah, I mean, a mod, but I'm talking about, like...
No, there's an official Xbox one.
Well, yeah, Xbox, not PlayStation.
You don't have it on the Xbox? You have Game Pass.
Yeah, I don't want to play it on Xbox.
Play it on the Xbox. It's fucking great on the Xbox.
My save data is on my PlayStation.
Just play Stardew fucking save.
I think that's what I'm going to end up doing anyway. Same as like just starting a new file and skipping past all the stupid fucking build your town shit.
I know exactly why I left off, and I don't want to go through it again and get to this exact choking point, but it's some fucking mission where you have to build like a generator, and I didn't have enough science, and I'm like, how the fuck was I supposed to know the throughout this whole game I'm putting up my science?
Why the fuck can't tell the Chiefs this good?
I legit got mad because I played it when it first came out, and then I tried to play it again like maybe 6 months to a year ago, and I forgot how to build shit, and especially find that stupid chick's chair, and I couldn't figure out what to do. So I was, like, getting really frustrated, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to quit this stupid game.
Oh, to build the chair? That's right. I forgot about that.
You have to find the chair and build it for that stupid, like, you know, clairvoyant lady, and I just got so mad. I was like, this is bullshit. I was like, Fallout 4 is not about building shit. It's about shooting.
Okay, so Andy, if you want to start a new game, anybody, both the PlayStation and Xbox versions are moddable, but if Xbox will give you a lot more options. You can do one called, like, I think it's Alternate Start, which you don't have to do any of the bullshit. You start at a random part in the map, and it eliminates the need to come out of the vault and do all the whatever it is. Like, it starts the game from a whole different perspective, and it's a fantastic way to start a new save file. Like literally, you know, you've already played the game once. Just mod it. Just who gives a shit? Like, you'll play this. It's the same mission. Story missions exist. You're fine. And then also the show I'm pretty hyped about. Like, honestly, I can't wait for this fucking show. Like, I really can't. I hope it's good. I hope... Walton Goggins is a fucking mutant. Sounds fantastic.
Yeah. Him as a ghoul. Yep, I'm here for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, give it to me. Mm-hmm. All right, what we got?
The last big story we got is Xbox giveth and Xbox taketh away, kinda. This was a late night edition last night, I believe, is when we had to update it. But so first, the good news. Xbox had a little partner preview showcase, giving us the first in-engine game. I'm sorry, not gameplay. First in-engine look at Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater Delta, which is the MGS3 remake. So the minute and a half trailer showed off some good visuals using the Unreal 5 engine. Xbox also showed off the launch trailer for Alan Wake 2, which has been getting crazy good reviews
in this
stupidly overstuffed 2023 year of games. Gameplay for Ark Survival Ascended, which is not the one with Vin Diesel. I guess this is a remake of the first Ark game, which I never got into, but maybe people have.
The non-family edition, yeah.
RoboCop, Rogue City, and more. Now on to the bad news. Microsoft is taking away the benefit of free Game Pass Ultimate for most of its 238,000 employees. That news only lasted about a day, though, because once Daddy Phil Spencer heard about it and he put his 2 cents in, they pretty much immediately walked back on their proposal and said, no, you know what? Yeah, we're not going to take that away from you guys. But I was more tripping out that the fact that, like he didn't even know about it. he found out, and then he was like, yeah, I'm going to have to look into this. And then now all of a sudden, a day later, they're like, yeah, that's not going to happen. So yeah. I feel bad for the guy. Probably it wasn't at an Xbox division, because I think...
It had to be some money guy. Some money fucker.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like a fucking accountant or something.
Yeah.
In the original story, before we updated it, I think only the Xbox division were going to keep...
They were going to keep it, yeah.
Any other Microsoft division was not going to get it. So, like, I guess if you worked on Windows, you weren't getting it and shit like that. So, yeah, that was kind of funny.
Yeah. But,
I mean, the gameplay that they had for the partner preview was whatever. I was like, you know, Metal Gear Solid 3, of course, is like going to look good, but is it going to play good is the real question.
Yeah, it just showed Snake, like, crouching, right?
If you make that game look like that terrible King Kong game, then there's going to be issues. But I don't care about what it looks like. I care about what it's going to be, because we've talked about it before. Like, we don't know. They said they weren't going to record any new voice acting on it.
Yeah.
And so essentially it's going to be a one-to-one, I guess, conversion, if you will, Rockstar. I'm more concerned about, yeah, what it's going to be. Like, they called it a remake from the ground up, but then it looked like it was the same scenes that we've seen before, but they look amazing. So I'm still concerned. I don't know what they're doing, and I don't know. I just, yeah, I don't want them to change it, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm like, they're keeping the same dialogue and I guess cutscenes, but they can always like do it from a different shot and like, make it look a little differently, and then they can have different changes in gameplay between the cutscenes, I guess. So like, there's there's options for them to do the Resident Evil remake route, but without giving emphasis to the story like Capcom does. But I mean, you know, they don't have Kojima, so you know, that's probably the best they can do, to be honest with you, because like Capcom, at least knew that they can enhance the stories and do something good with what they have with RE. But you know, if you're missing Kojima, who's basically the DNA of the series, and especially from a visual and storytelling standpoint, yeah, I get it. Use his work, copy the homework. That's fine. And then Alan Wake 2, I'm so surprised. I have not seen such a drastic difference from 1 to 2 when it comes to reviews and reception. Yeah. Like that really makes me want to actually get the fucking game. But I just ain't got no fucking time. There's too many goddamn games. There's just too many games. Stop it. Just stop it. Please.
I don't know, like, right now, Target has a buy 2 get 1 free sale. And I was looking at it, and I'm like, fuck, I really want Final Fantasy 16, Assassin's Creed Mirage, and Metal Gear Solid, the Legacy Collection, right? But I'm like, that's $140 for 3 games, which is still kind of good. But I'm like, fuck, do I really want to drop that right now before Christmas? Mm-hmm. And like not even have time to touch any of those until probably after Christmas.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I'll just wait till after Christmas, fuck.
Right, and we're gonna get holiday sales anyway, so you know, maybe you don't have to get all 3. Maybe you can just
Exactly, right. Yeah. So I was just like, this morning right before we got on, I was all looking at it, I put them in my cart, and I'm like, do I push purchase or do I just wait? And I'm like, I think I'm just gonna wait.
Yeah, no, I actually did that too, and I was like, dude, I can't even finish what I'm fucking playing now. Exactly. I just can't do it, even though I'm having a blast playing when I actually get a fucking moment. But yeah, and then of course, good perk for Microsoft, actually. That's really nice. Yeah, don't fuck your employees. How about that? How about it? You know,
in the end, it helps their numbers too, because they can say that those are subscriptions too.
And that's good R&D. You know, good internal data for how people are receiving your games and your service. So we'll have it. Enjoy. All right. Well, that's the news stories. We got a couple leaky rumors up in this bitch. Let's fucking do it. Look at all these rumors. No, so every day. Sometime to play a game.
All these rumors. You're gonna start doing little intro songs in each section.
Oh, dude, should. I think that's a good one. We gotta figure out a way to make rumors work. So, Assassin's Creed to the future. That's right. Assassin's Creed modern day storyline has been hit and miss since the end of the good old Desmond arc back in like 10 years ago. But Ubisoft is apparently looking to revamp it for the next few installments at least. So leaked audio that was in the game code from Assassin's Creed Mirage and a confirmation from insider sources has confirmed that the 21st century will be referred to as ancient history, and there will be a great shift in the modern day lore. No word on what this will do to gameplay, but it will be the frame in which all future Assassin's Creed stories, and they're going to be multiple different types of games too, will be told. So apparently it's going to be a big fucking deal. But yeah, discuss. What do you think? Modern day Assassin's Creed? Future? I don't know.
I don't know.
What are they going to cover?
Future.
Like, it's just...
The future of what? Future of what?
Like, well, humanity. Like, tech. High tech. Like, cyberpunk shit.
They kind of touched that with the DLC for, was it Odyssey, with the Atlantis shit, where it was like Atlantis futuristic. They kind of touched it with that, but I was going to say, to me, I don't know one Assassin's Creed fan that is like, you know what I like? The future modern day storytelling.
Right.
Everyone likes fucking going back in time and doing that shit, dude. We want like pure animus action. We don't want fucking, no one cares about what's gonna, you know, the modern day assassin story, just because it's like, it's gone nowhere.
It always takes me out of the game. Yeah, I don't exactly. Like it. No, like, I'm not a fan.
I think it was Valhalla, when you can like actually leave the animus whenever you want. I didn't leave the Animus until I was forced to because of their story.
That, and like, why do I play like shittier gameplay with less of a, like, no open world, just like, oh, go over here. Yeah. Go over here, and you're going to get like a little story tidbit. And I'm like, dude, just cutscene it. Yeah. Cutscene it for me.
Yeah, no one wants to be in the modern day when they play Assassin's Creed. We want to do all these ancient gameplay, you know, settings. Fucking, we're getting ninjas, we're getting samurai. You know, we wanted Vikings, we got Vikings. I mean, people have been saying, like, they should get risky and give us, like, a cowboy version.
I was just gonna say, like, if you want to go a little bit more contemporary, fine, but give me, like, a Wild West version and make it more, like, you know, again, like, kind of like Valhalla, like, you don't really have to be sneaky. You can just go fuck shit up. Like, so give me the ability to just go guns blazing and I'm down.
Damn, dude, with the Assassin's Creed style, like, Odyssey, Valhalla, like, open world with the cowboy theme, I'm with that.
It would basically essentially be, like, Black Flag, like, your, you know, pirates used pistols and stuff and rifles and whatnot. Yeah. It would be like that, but just more gunplay. I would be super down for that, but let's not go past that. Because after that, it's like, dude, all right, now, you know, you can't really... I don't think you can really go World War II, Assassin's Creed, or anything like that.
No, dude. But... Assassin's Creed, Great Depression, dude. Yeah.
People are saying
fucking like Black World Tuesday War happens, and they did the fall is actually just there with a bunch of people dropping from the buildings when the stock market crashes. It'd be fucking perfect.
People were saying that World War I could work because the gameplay, the guns from there are still kind of in the transition period.
World War I could work, yeah.
Two would be harder, but like...
Yeah, we got a preview of 2, though, with Unity, right?
Yeah, I think it was Unity. You had little tidbits of it, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I know there's a comic book setting set during, like, a Russian assassin during World War II or something. But, like, gameplay-wise, yeah, we've never really had that.
Yeah,
I think no one's been like, yeah, fuck yeah, I want to go to the future and be an assassin. It's like, nah, dude.
Right?
At that point, just make a whole new fucking game.
Well, like, dude, what are you going to, like, right? What are you going to do? Okay, so the best thing about the Desmond arcs was that the gameplay actually didn't suck. A lot of the time, and then you were able to, like, in the third one, build to Desmond being in modern day, being a fucking assassin. That was cool. That was badass. You know, but that took 3 games of, like, a very cohesive, very forward-thinking story to build up to, and they've not put the work in. So yeah, this sudden shift to the future to generate buzz, nah, fuck it. I'm not feeling it. But you know what I am feeling is the next franchise for sure. That's true. James, what you got?
I don't know what I have. No, I do. I have something that I've been, again, beating the dead horse about. But apparently, Resident Evil 9 will be huge. It's going to be huge. It's going to be tremendous. It's going to be the greatest Resident Evil ever. It's going to be huge.
Resident Evil 4. Great game.
Execution. I love the game, but you know what? We can do bigger. We can do better. We can make Resident Evil great again.
Ethan Winters, more like Ethan Winters. I didn't like, anyway. Like the Ganado spoke Spanish. Or build the wall around the village.
Problem is, we're letting too many of these immigrants in, and they're making everybody zombies. Okay, so we need to build a wall. All right. Anyway,
some of the Ganados are good people.
I've met them. They're great. They're tremendous people. So, the latest leaks regarding Resident Evil 9, which I've been talking about this entire podcast, is that it's going to conclude all lingering plot lines from 8 and probably a little bit of 7, maybe. I don't know. Mm-hmm. To mark a full trilogy, it'll have the longest development time of any Resident Evil game so far, and it's aiming for a 2025 release. That doesn't mean development is going badly, however, as the RE4 reboot reportedly released even sooner due to how well the team was working together. In the meantime, Capcom is promising a major game release before the fiscal year ends in 2024. What could that possibly be? Discuss!
I mean, good Capcom news. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I do like, from what I read about this report, yeah, it looks like it's going to be a almost full conclusion on anything with, like, the Chris Redfield storyline and, like, all that stuff going in. But it also is going to be, like, I guess, some major setup for another trilogy. So, you know, Capcom's not going to stop. Like, this is just their baby. Like, it's fine. 9, though, I mean, 4 was so goddamn good, dude. 8, great. They've been on such a roll. I feel like with this development time and how smoothly things have been going since their, like, 3 mishap, give it to me. Just whatever you're doing, 2025, take as long as you need. If it's a conclusion, please stick the landing this time. I don't want another RE6.
The biggest issue for me that's been with the last 2 games, even though they've been both amazing, is they're too short.
Very short, yes.
So I'm hoping that with this long development cycle, it's going to be at least double the length, because they usually come in around like 9 hours or so, mm-hmm. which is like their storytelling in those 9 hours is fucking amazing. But I want something more meatier. Like, I want to go, you know, bigger. Go bigger.
More girth.
I want more girth. Right now, it's not enough girth. We need more girth.
Hey, you're all about the length, dude. I get it.
Yeah, well, they're all about the length right now. We need some girth.
I don't want no fucking stubby ass.
Exactly. We want something that's going to scrape the walls.
It's going to scrape the walls. It's going to be huge.
It's going to be huge. It's going to be the biggest wall scraping. Okay, anyway. That's been my biggest issue, because they're so good, I run through them. And then I'm like, damn, like, now we have to wait another 4 or 5 years for another Resident Evil. And, like, the DLC was what, like 2 or 3 hours, Alex? Something like that?
For Village?
For Village.
Well, I was going to say, speaking of DLC, I haven't played it yet, but it is on sale for $10, so I am going to buy it.
Okay.
So I'll get back to you on that. But.
Yeah,
it's very short, though.
2 hours. It was like an extra 2 hours, but like, take that, add it to the normal game, and then give us a little bit more, you know? I would be fine without DLC that's not related to Mercenaries. Just give us a longer story, and it should be good, because like, the trilogy has been, or the first 2 games, plus, you know, the DLC, just there's a lot to work with.
Yeah.
So, just give me a longer game and I'm fucking down.
No, I'm with it. And of course, also, yeah, what do you think, Cordova?
No, I mean, I think we talked about it like last, maybe a couple episodes ago, where we were praising Capcom because they were on that roll.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah.
You know, that report about the major release at the end of 2024, I think we were saying it may be like another remake, excuse me, in the vein of like, Dino Crisis, because I could have sworn an earlier report said it wasn't Resident Evil.
No, it's not. Yeah, it's actually not RE4, Resident Evil 9. Yeah. Okay.
So, but then again, now that they're saying that the whole, like, I didn't know that RE4 was ahead of schedule like that. So maybe, I mean, maybe that's how much faith they have in their development team, where they can actually deliver it a little early. But I looked it up right now. Village came out in 2021. So it's going to be about, what, four years in between? Yep.
Shit.
So
it's a big gap.
Yeah. Well, 7 was 2017, and then we got 8 in 2021. So that's about a 4-year gap. Oh, that's
reasonable. Too. Okay, shit.
Yeah.
So maybe sticking to the same little timeline they got there, you know, the next one will be 2024 or 5. So, yeah, I'm interested for it. Like I said, I mean, the last 2 have been awesome. The only hiccup they had was 3, the remake, I'm sorry, which should have just been DLC to 2, but, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But we got Separate Ways, baby, which is fucking amazing. Yeah. So, make it up to me, Capcom. That's good. All right. All right, we got one more before we get on to our stuff. So, what you got, Cordova?
The Far Cry universe may be getting a multiplayer game, ?
Right.
Far Cry may be taking a little side tour into the multiplayer space with an extraction shooter set place in a fictional setting based on Alaska. Expect gameplay similar to Modern Warfare 2's DMZ mode or Escape. I think it's from Tarkov. Maybe that was my first. Let it be known, this is the first typo I've ever made. It's not Escape of Tarkov. I'm pretty sure it's Escape from Tarkov. But it'll be with a little Far Cry twist, you know, such as hunting animals to craft gear, looting weapons, and a wide set of vehicles to choose from to travel across the map.
Hmm.
I could be into that.
Yeah, actually, it doesn't sound that bad, to be honest with you.
But if they don't have companions like Chicharron, I don't want it.
Yeah, that's true.
That I'm not sure about. I didn't hear that in the report, my bad. But the whole aspect of extraction-based shooting is, like, kind of new. I feel like they're kind of trying to make it the new Battle Royale modes, which is cool. But, like, DMZ mode was whatever in Modern Warfare 2. But it's like, I feel like the gaming industry is still looking for that game to mix all that together, mm-hmm. to make it feel new, right? And, you know, Far Cry's always been very single player, with only like co-op being the closest to multiplayer I think they've gotten. So if they're going to do the whole Far Cry experience, but full on PvP multiplayer, and then throw in the PvE aspect on top of it in a big ass Far Cry map, like that, this may be the one that's going to, like, you know, make more people look towards these type of extraction shooters.
Yeah, I'm with you. And then, but to me, the hiccup I think that they're going to run into is I feel like Far Cry is clearly balanced for, like, that single-player experience. Like, it's not a fast shooting game, you know? I don't think there's a lot of finesse to its mechanics, so they're going to kind of mechanically have to revamp it a little bit, and, you know, with their trees and, like, their other gameplay perks they usually pick up in there. Like, I wonder how it's going to work with other players. Like, that's going to be the only thing that kind of throws me off here. But, I mean, conceptually, I'm down. Conceptually, I'm very much with this approach. Especially Alaska seems fun. That seems very different. You know, have a little fucking, like, you know, do on a glacier or something. Like, I'm having a good time.
I haven't got far into 6 just because I had a whole bunch of other games to play. But, like, the Montana setting in 5, I thought was awesome. I thought the whole foresty, small town vibes. You know, it's different from the jungles that Far Cry is usually used to. But I don't know how 6 is compared to that.
Right. Really, and then the whole evangelical Christians as, like, the enemies with the cult leaders. It's like, it was very... 5 was cool. 5 was very cool. 6 is pretty good, too. Actually, 6 is a lot... But it feels like a much calmer game than 5, actually. But, you know, let's see how this plays out. Far Cry has... It's again, it's like fast food gaming to me. Like, it's just... easy. Like, you know, there's not a lot of depth to it, but when you play it, you have a really good time. And maybe they'll have the same kind of appeal with the multiplayer. I don't know. Well, you guys want to, shall we move on to did they get it right with a couple of really big software releases? What do you think?
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, I guess. Whatever, dude. Yeah, it's just like your world.
We're just living.
Yeah, way to bring the enthusiasm for the podcast, guys. Oh, my God. Fucking entertainers over here. All right. Did they get it right? We got two major software releases here. We're clearly playing them, so this might jump into what we're playing. But big one for you two is Spider-Man 2. Did the reviewers get it right with Spider-Man 2? What do you think so far?
Depends on what we're looking at, but let me see real quick. IGN gave it a big fat 8, which I think is horseshit. So according to the Metascore, user score, it's got a 9.1. The Metascore, a 90 overall. Most places, Digital Spy gave it an 80 for some reason. Edge Magazine gave it an 80. I don't understand. IGN also gave it an 8 or an 80, if you will. I don't know what fucking game they're playing, but this is weird. Because, dude, like, it's so good. I think the issue that reviewers are having, or they have to have, rather, is that it did exactly what we asked it to do, which is don't change anything. You don't need to take away from what the first game offered, but just expand on it. And that's exactly what they did. But I think for, like, reviewers, you have to be like, oh, well, they didn't change anything. And it's like, okay, well, if it's not broke, don't fix it. Like, why do you just give us that same game, but just give us extra stuff? And I feel that's what they did. And the story is incredible. The spider wings are incredible. The fact that you get to, like, zip across New York, the 5 boroughs, is incredible. Like, I don't know. It's such a good game, and I burned through 80% of it in 2 days.
Damn.
Thankfully, I slowed way down. I haven't had the time to jump back in, but I'm close to the end. I'm like 5 story missions away from beating the whole thing. This is the first game in a long time where I literally sat there for hours upon hours and just played it. And I normally don't do that. Like, I have to stop every 2 hours and be like, okay, I need to take a break, and then I don't come back for a while. Like, this one, the two days that I had off, I literally sat on the couch and I played it all damn day, like, straight up. It's a 10 out of 10 for me. So I don't know why places are giving an 8. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, to expand on James's view too is the fact that like it literally like, oh man, it's like Arkham Asylum and Arkham City. Mm-hmm. Like I feel unfairly that that's what a lot of these reviewers are like comparing it to, saying that, well, Arkham Asylum was set here and then Arkham City, we opened up into Gotham, and it's like, yeah, that was fucking 10, 15 years ago. Like right out of the bat in 2018, they gave us a full-size New York City. Mm-hmm. Like, what the fuck do you want them to do? Like, take us to fucking California next? Like, no, that's not Spider-Man. Spider-Man is New York City.
Yeah.
Excuse mm-hmm. me. And then not only that, but the whole Miles Morales spin-off game, right? That they expanded on that as well. Like, that game came out to, like, as a little appetizer, and they pretty much, Spider-Man 2 pretty much grabbed Spider-Man from 2018 and Miles Morales and put them together, and this is what we got, which is like, yeah, they pretty much pushed everything up to 11. There's more abilities, there's more gadgets, there's more moves, there's more mm-hmm. ways for you to travel around the city. They fixed like a lot of people's critique of 2018 was like, oh, well, why is Spider-Man fast traveling in a fucking subway? And so, like, they heard that, and now the fast travel is literally instantaneous as soon as you unlock it.
I saw that. That looked badass. That yeah, actually was really cool how fast that was.
Literally, anywhere in the borough you want to go, you just click on it, and you click fast travel, you hold down a button, and then fucking a second later, he's there gliding into that borough, and it's like, yeah. I mean, it's so fun to swing, though. I don't know why you would want to fast travel, but yeah, that's besides the point. You know, and like James said, the storyline is, like, so much more... Like, Kraven is an awesome fucking villain. Like, I didn't expect them to do what they did with him in a video game form. And, like, they did it. And I'm like, man, he's, like, really, really... He's a threat to Spider-Man, which is, like, in the first one, Mr. Negative kind of didn't feel like that, to me, at least. Mm-hmm. It was more when the storyline in the first one, like, kicked up is when there was a big old breakout at the Raft, you know? Like, sorry if mm-hmm. you haven't played it fucking 4 years later, guys.
Hey.
Spoiler alert, there's a breakout at the Raft, and then shit gets...
Spoiler alert, villains appear in Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm not saying what villains got broken out. Yeah. Yeah. And then I just like how they're adding to the Spider-Man lore themselves, you know? Insomniac doesn't feel... shackled down by like, oh well, Spider-Man never does this, we should not, like, you know, they're adding to it, they're making their own universe, which is what gets me even more hyped actually for Wolverine, because they did I think come out and confirm that Spider-Man 2 and Wolverine are going to be taking place in the Insomniac universe now, so
it's connected.
I will say, without spoiling, there are some deeper connections that I'm not going to say what, but they should excite Spider-Man fans across the board. When you get to them, I'm sure you will text me, Alex, but they are incredible. And yeah, they did a really good job of taking this game and connecting it to Spider-Man in general. So
yeah,
there's a lot going on in the game. Again, I don't understand why this is not rated higher for some people.
And I don't, like, I'm not going to knock on Tears of the Kingdom, but, like, think about Tears of the Kingdom and Breath of the Wild, right? Like, it's the same fucking map. It's just, like, a little bit changed, and we have two new areas, right? The underground and the sky.
Right.
That's fine.
They're pretty big areas.
That's kind of what they did here, is they added in
Brooklyn. That's exactly what they did.
And, you know, it's the same map, but, like, why isn't that being a critique for Tear of the Kingdom 10 out of 10 shit, right? Like, I think, did IGN give it a 10 out of 10? They did, right?
I'm pretty sure they did, yeah.
They did, so yeah, like, they did, yeah. Well, I don't,
You don't call that out in Zelda, but you're gonna call it out in a real life location, like, that's created, like, pretty much one-to-one. Like,
they didn't hold anything back.
I mean, also, Tears of the Kingdom map is drastically different in a lot of ways, though. Like, it is a rearrange, but it still is the same terrain, if that makes sense.
But, exactly to my
point, what Alex is saying, Tears of the Kingdom, expanding the map, gave Link new powers. Spider-Man 2, expanding the map, gave everybody new powers. Same thing, and they didn't give it a 10. That's what's so baffling.
But can you make a mech? Can you make a mech?
I don't fucking have to make a mech, you know, Spider-Man.
In a cave with scraps.
Look, man. My Peter Parker black suit Spider-Man will wreck that thing in 2 seconds. Alright? That's all I'm saying.
You fucking bought the Rhino, you can't fight a little fucking shitty mech made of scraps.
But yeah, so it's the same. It's the same principle, but and it's like I said, I don't know. Like I feel, and I say this as a. I say this as a part-time critic as well. I feel there's times where you have to be like mean. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You there? Hello?
Yeah. Sorry. I'm
again. I'm really on the edge of my seat right there.
I know. He's just. Like, let me just tell you one thing.
I'm choking on my rage. Man. I'm choking on my rage, and I lost my train of thought. This is how angry I am. Like I don't understand it. Sorry, dude. I lost my train of thought. I was like, "What do I?" I was like, "I'm so mad. I don't even know what to say anymore."
I'm so mean all the time.
Spider-Man, too good.
There you go. It's unfair.
No, really though. It's this is what makes me mad about reviewers. When like I feel like you have to be mean on purpose, but like the storyline alone, I feel it took. One and Miles Morales and made it 10 times better. And I feel that's what they should be reviewing the game on. Like, it's the same mechanics, but again, bigger map, different powers, but it's the story. It's written so well. And Alex is getting to a point where I'm at now. And like, he was texting me last night, and I was like, yeah, dude, like, the storyline is so good.
I did. I went past that, and I got to a story beat. That I'm sure will be the talk of the internet soon. Or if it's not already. I've been trying to stay off the spoilers. But yeah, you take control of someone and it's very interesting. And I'm just like, give me more of that, please. Give me DLC, wrap that up, and just give me a mode of that and I'll be good.
Yeah. Okay. Right, that's good to know. That's good to know. There's a lot of passion for Spider-Man here, well, I see.
Like Alex told you, I think our last recording session, if anybody should be playing this game, it should be you.
I know.
And you will understand why we're beating the drum. Listen, I'm dying on the hill for Spider-Man. Whole series.
I'm visiting my family next weekend, I'm going to try to get the PS4, see if I can get part 1. So we can get one down at least. Yeah, that's my goal.
I guarantee you play that one. It's going to make you want to buy a PS5.
Get a PS5 Slim. That's on the goal. That's a goal for sure. I'll be making, you know, I just got to find some fucking time.
So I think to wrap up our side of this though is IGN didn't get it right. A lot of reviewers did, but IGN specifically definitely not an 8 out of 10. It is at least a fucking 9 or 9.5.
Yeah, if you want to give it a 9, fine. That's fair, but like 8, come on. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. No. That's a B. That's a fucking B. Like, really, though.
You're a B, goddammit.
You're a big, giant B, IGN.
Being a real B, I agree. Now, for my take on this one, I'm the only one that's been playing this game so far. It's Super Mario Brothers Wonder. And
I'll get back to you on Christmas time, dude.
Yeah, no, definitely. I definitely want to hear your take because, like, it is one of those things where I wasn't sure if I was going to use my voucher for it. I was kind of considering waiting, to be honest with you. But the trailers look good and the reviews are phenomenal. Like, they're really fantastic from what I'm seeing right here. Like, everybody's getting, there's a lot of tens. Like a lot of 10s. And a lot of 9.5s and all this shit, too. See a lot of guys, too. Yup. IGN Brazil, the whole shebang. Who's the fucking just 9s across the board. Honestly, though, IGN gave it a 9 also. To me, from what I've played so far, and I'm actually really fucking far in the game, but, and that's where I'm surprised. I don't have time, but I give myself maybe like an hour, hour and a half before bed to rock some Mario, right? And it's been so hard to put down because I cannot emphasize enough. This is like a true sequel to Super Mario World from the Super Nintendo. This actually feels like a legit successor to that game in particular because it plays almost one-to-one. Like in terms of like how much momentum you get when you run, how high Mario jumps, and like all that. Feels almost exactly like it does in that game, the Super Nintendo one we all played when we were fucking like 6. But it's also Nintendo knows you played that game and they fuck you with this acid trip thing. I don't know how to describe it. It's like it's there's these little seeds, right? These little fucking seeds. I missed that whole thing. I was ranting.
I said they do what to us?
they fuck your expectations.
They do. I mean, they do call it Wonder for a reason.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say.
All right, so...
got very psychedelic with this.
No, mechanically, though, okay, so the only way you progress to unlock levels is you capture these seeds. Every level has at least two. And it's not like, oh, I got the seed because the level's done. There's a couple like that. But most of the time when you get one and you discover one, it just changes the level until you complete whatever thing it wants you to do. But the way it changes the level, it really is just throw out any thought you've had of what Mario is. Like, whatever you think a Goomba does, once you get that seed, the Goomba might, like, just start playing jazz and staring you down. You're like, why the... What am I doing? Like, why is this happening? You know? Piranha plants are suddenly like, whoa, that's a buff piranha plant. Like, there's weird stuff. The perspective will change. It's trippy. I don't know how else to describe, but you're like, once you see one in front of you, you kind of got to take a breath and be like, okay, what? I have no idea what's going to happen once I touch this thing. I have no idea. But I know, you know, it's going to be a good time. It's never bad. Like, this game has no downsides from what I've played so far. The only downside is I don't have enough fucking time. That's it. I just don't have enough time.
So what you're saying is they took a previous title, they expanded on it using the same fucking mechanics, and they got a 9 out of 10. That's what you're telling me?
But they use a whole different map. It's a whole different map. It's a new map.
It's instead of stars now, James.
These seeds behave way different than stars. I'll tell you that. Again, the acid trip factor actually makes a big difference. Also, the badges. The badges are pretty cool. It's like you just give Mario another move. But they give you so many. It's just how you want to play. I don't know. It's a very good take on the formula that those new Super Mario Brothers games, as good as that first one was and the Wii one was, they got real stale after that. They got stale.
Two was a little weird when they emphasized the more coins. I was like, this is weird. I beat it, but I'm just like, yeah, that kind of just felt like the same thing.
It did. Really did. Yeah, I don't know. Got all those criticisms and it just expanded on it. So I think the reviewers are spot on for this particular game. I'm actually really with it.
They fucked up Spider-Man 2, but they got Super Mario Wonders right, huh?
Absolutely. Honestly, it might be my game of the year. I know. I'm going to wait till I beat it, though. I'm going to wait till I beat it. Let's see.
Hold on. You haven't even played Spider-Man 2. Don't even give me that.
I said my game of the year. I didn't say the game of the year.
You can join IGN with your stupid review. You're wrong.
Don't you dare fucking compare me to IGN. That is assault. Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah. Mario Wonder, amazing. I am probably 75% of the way done. Got the last two more worlds left to go. And I'm kind of sad it's coming to a close. It's a great game. Great fucking game.
I'm on the fence about getting Mortal Kombat or that first, which... I'm leaning more towards Mario because, like, again, I'm not really the fighting game person. Mm-hmm. But I want to get both eventually.
Yeah, it's a Black Friday sales, baby. They're coming. Yeah, they are coming.
I think I should see if Mortal Kombat is on that Target situation, dude. I don't know. We'll see.
All right, well.
Let you know.
Anything else we're playing before we move on? Anything else? And Spider-Man, talked about the games we're fucking playing anyways. But.
You combined them?
But I guess so, because honestly, I would just be saying the same shit as fucking what I just said right now.
The only thing that I'm playing in lieu of, or in tandem with Spider-Man 2, I should say, is got back on Halo Infinite, and they are very, very serious about changing it. I just wish they had a marketing team behind them, because...
Yeah.
All the issues I had with it first, like a lack of game modes, fucking a shitty ass internet. I mean, not shitty ass internet, shitty ass network code that constantly made us like stutter and shit. Mm-hmm. That's all fixed now. So now there's a custom browser mode where people are making like literally, you know, different game modes from different games, like zombies. And there was even a Mario Kart mode mod.
Damn. In there.
So yeah, I've been on Infinite and I've been on Spider-Man 2. Like, kind of as my single player and multiplayer 1-2 punch.
Dude. So, yeah, I'm telling you, Infinite, it really did. I think I was saying this on the podcast before because I was pissed because I was like, how is this the game? Like, it was months ago, but I was like, how is this game this good and no one it was that. Not like this 2 years ago. Yeah. 2 years ago was so not like this, but yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, 343. Not like this.
Not like this.
Almost done with the Pokemon Violet DLC again. Boring, but man, hunting Mons is still the best it's ever been. So, you know, if you're one of those people that likes to EV train and catch shinies and do all the nerd shit, this game does nerd shit real good. And my Halloween game was, because I would play one Halloween game, I went back and actually replayed Doom 2016.
Nice.
Yeah, didn't finish it, but I did play a lot of the game. Man, id Software, dudes, that's probably magnum opus, one of the best fucking shooters I've ever played, and I'm glad that I own it. Like, that's just, there's nothing quite like playing it. I can't play it before bed because I can't sleep. Can't fucking sleep. It's too fast. Great game. Great game. I'm glad it's for spooky, but it was spooky and monstery enough where I felt Halloween. And yeah, I'm with it. Doom 2016, bona fide classic, shall always be that way. So yeah, those are my games.
I'm just playing Spider-Man 2, as I've been saying, because that's really all the time I've had.
Yeah, and, no.
Yeah, and like I will say once I'm done with it, I will be going back to Baldur's Gate 3.
There you go.
Yeah, but for right now, it's all Spider-Man 2 because, holy shit.
Nice.
Definitely not an 8 effort. It's definitely more of a 10 effort.
I've never seen James more triggered in my life than an 8 from IGN.
Well, I mean, I get worked up because then I go read the comments and I'm like, I see everybody like continually laughing at them like I do.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I don't know. It's just really funny. They're like, oh, I guess the check didn't clear for IGN to give them a 10.
That's a very good point.
Anyway.
All right. Well, before I leave, before we head out here, win and fail. Win is going to be for the month. Digital Foundry did a very good video actually showing what the Switch 2 specs are going to be like. Based on leaks that they've gotten gotten over the past 2 years, but like the most confirmed version of it, and it seems that the gap between the Switch 2 and the current gen, which is the PS5 and Xbox Series X and S, it's not going to be as big a gap as the Switch was with the Xbox or the PS4 and the Xbox One, which is great. I think that's fantastic, and yeah, they have a lot of evidence to back up what they're putting up there, and Digital Foundry is very reputable, so like these guys are like the guys. But yeah, from what it's looking like, the Switch 2 is, at least in terms of portability, is gonna be kind of a beast. You know,
I believe it when I see it.
Yeah, again, it's still portable. It's still not gonna be like a PS5 level experience. That's for sure. But from what they presented, it, you know, if what Digital Foundry is, you know, if they're confirmed on this, if it is what they're saying, I think it's going to be what Nintendo needs, essentially. I can't wait to see what Nintendo themselves, as the publishers and developers, can do with this kind of horsepower. So I can't wait to see it. Yeah. And then, what about your win? James is a very clear win.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Spider-Man 2.
Yeah. Again, 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. Take it. Spider-Man 2. It's just, it's an incredibly well-written game. I have a buddy named Patty that works for Insomniac. And, you know, I was hounding him for information that I will not repeat here.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. Incredible game. I love it. Everyone should play it. Go get consoles.
Hey, football.
Spider-Man.
Mine's Spider-Man 2 as well, and I think I'm at like 75%, and yeah, I kind of don't want it to end, but I do want it. I want to see where it goes. And then also the Halo Infinite Forge, like I said, you know, it's like literally people made an entire battle royale in there, since 343 hasn't given them a Halo Battle Royale. The community went above and beyond themselves to make it for the community.
That's so it's cool.
It's awesome too. I played it. It's very, like, it's rough. Of course, it's not an official game mode, but just the fact that someone got a Halo Battle Royale mode working in there is awesome. So Forge is, you know, crazy that people are doing this on their Xbox and PCs and all that. So yeah, very, very highly recommend any Halo fans to get back up into Infinite, because it's totally night and day to what it was.
Okay, I'm gonna do it. And then my fail, unfortunately, there has been news, and it's back to our layoff stories we've had, but I guess Sony actually has cut. First of all, Bungie got a big cut. But also their performance was pretty not great for the fiscal year, so I get that one. But with Naughty Dog, and I believe it's Insomniac and Sucker Punch, everybody got, like, a percentage of the staff taken out. Which I'm like, dudes, these people have produced you such gold. I get that some of the roles might not be as necessary. But, like, you guys are clearly working on a lot. Like, you should, I think publishers should reward the kind of gains they're getting from these employees. And it sucks. It just sucks that we get this at this point, during the busiest gaming season when the profits are happening. And it's happening with, you know, Sony's the big one in the news right now. But obviously it's something that's happening across the board. But yeah, for such major studios like that, that give us these great games that we've been gushing about, to see the people who helped make it happen, do we let go? I don't know. Not with that kind of fucking first day number from Spider-Man 2. Like, nah. Like, Sony, come on. You're supposed to be the good guys. Supposed to be the good guys. You're the chosen one, goddammit. But yeah, that's my fail. What about you, James?
My fail is No More Bobby Kotick Stories.
Oh, yeah, that one hurts.
I kind of miss him, you know? He was giving us a lot of good content, and now he's gone, and, you know, I'm a little sad.
I'm a little sad, too, dude. I'm a little, you know, one day we're gonna make a little, like, mural for Kotick.
Got it.
In the local around the offices here. So,
yeah. No more. R.I.P.
R.I.P. Until he fucks up again, then we can see. I'm telling you, he's gonna be in the Unity. Unity's gonna get his ass, and then we can talk all kinds of shit. Because they're stupid. All right. Because they're stupid. How about you, Cordova? Fail.
Mine's the Metal Gear Solid Master Collection launch was a little rocky. You know, there was a lot of digital issues, and I just, this is more of a nitpick of mine, that the fact that, like, all the games are, like, separate when you play them, like, downloading-wise.
Yeah.
So they all show, and that wouldn't be a big deal, but what fucking really grinds my gears right now, dude, is the fact that they named every single game in there Metal Gear Solid Master Collection Volume 1. They all say that. They don't say Metal Gear Solid 1, Metal Gear Solid 2, Metal Gear Solid 3. They all just say MGS Master Collection Volume 1. They all say that, and it's like, why the fuck, like, is that how lazy these motherfuckers at Konami are, where they just kind of just wanted to get it out there like that? Like, that just drives me crazy that in, like, the PS5 menu, I'm just going to see four games back to back to back where it just says Master Collection Volume 1, Master Collection Volume 1. That's just, ugh, bugs me, dude.
Uh-huh, it's weird, because when I saw Phil sign in earlier, it didn't have that. It just said Metal Gear Solid 2. But yeah, that's Switch.
On the Switch, right?
Yeah, that's the Switch way they categorize
it. Pretty sure on the PlayStation 5 one that I saw, it just says, or maybe they have it at the very, very end of their long-ass fucking...
Yeah.
Where, yeah, like, because on the PS5, it scrolls if you, like, kind of leave it, but that's just dumb.
No, that shitty naming convention. And then, honestly, I just heard Digital Foundry was also very pissed at how, like, Konami just kind of shit this one out, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Like, they really did. Not great.
Yeah, that's my fail. I mean, yeah. I'm still gonna get it, but I was just a little nitpick of me, right? That drops it from a 10 to an 8 for me.
Damn.
Still gonna get it.
I hope you don't get it.
Yeah, I was gonna say that
too. I hope you don't get it.
Well, back to Konami here. Who wants to do Absurd? Who wants it? I'll take it if you guys don't want to. It's fine.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead, man.
All right. Numbskull Designs is teaming up with Konami to release a unisex cologne inspired by Metal Gear Solid. That's right. Quote, taking inspiration from the game's legendary setting, this unique cologne opens with crisp freshness of hand-picked mushrooms and forest soil and evolves to reveal a heart enriched with aromatic scents designed to take the wearer on a sensory journey, transporting them to the captivating and complex landscape of Shadow Moses Island, period, end quote. Holy run on Sense Batman, god fucking damn. Anyways, unfortunately, it will only be available for European boys and gals, and it will probably be price expensive as hell.
It will be available for European boys, girls, and all genders, okay? Right. Thank you.
I didn't write it.
You fucking just, bigot.
No, just so you know, that's what it said in the article, all right? It didn't say that. It said boys and girls.
Hey, you know what? I'm correcting you. We're progressive.
And then on top of that, you want to know why that's in italics? Because I literally just copied it from their fucking article. So they did the run-on sentence,
Thanks for taking the heat. Thanks for taking the heat. All right, that's because that's not true EG behavior right there. Just so you know, that's...
don't you bring him into this, okay?
And of course, it'll only have 1,000 units will be made. So, you know, whatever.
Lower price of shit, yeah.
All right, Konami.
So basically, if you want to smell like Shadow blood Moses. And you want to smell... like murky swamp water, this is the cologne for you.
That I've smelled worse. That's yep. Mm-hmm. All right, well that's weird cologne, and that is the show. So yeah, thank you everybody for listening. This has been a production of the Horrible People's Network. We'll be back again in 2 weeks for even more gaming news. And then I'll probably finish the games that we're playing right now, hopefully, because, you know, but life is, it is what it is. I am your host, Anthony Fuentes. You can also find me at the Horrible People's Podcast. It is HORRORBLE People's Podcast, where we are covering Threequel November. That's right. Part threes for all kinds of horror movies. And it is, they're good ones. They're fucking bangers. And of course you can find our host, James here on the network as well. James, where can people find you?
You can find me as being part of the Turning Tables podcast, which is on the Horrible People's Network. It is a live play D&D campaign. Go check it out. It's a lot of fun. I play a barbarian that just goes around bonking everything. So there you go.
He plays that in real life, too. So
I play that in real life as well. Yeah.
Cordova.
Whenever somebody gives games an 8 out of 10, I go bonk them.
That's exactly what we did for like fucking 20 minutes here.
So, all right. I needed to be said.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, you can only find me here. I'm only here on this podcast and occasionally guest spot on the other one. But yeah, that's it.
All right.
You don't want to follow dad activities on my personal.
Oh, no, you do. Trust me. You do want to.
Oh, no, you do.
A top golf pro right here, for sure.
Oh, you do.
Oh, you do. All right, everybody. See you in a couple weeks. Peace.
Laters. Bye.